Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. If I could start that hymn, I would let's sing the chorus. Nobody knows it? 181 in your hymn book, just in case you were wondering. We're delighted again to have this opportunity of fellowship with you and with the Lord. What a delight it is to be a part of the family of God. And to come and gather with His people to learn of Him, to celebrate, to sing, to enjoy and appreciate what God is teaching us day by day. It's been a delight to have these three Sundays with you. Just as, what can I use? Jealous? Is that a good word? It is when it refers to God. Envious? I don't think that's ever a good word. But one of our delights is coming to be with you and to have this time of fellowship. God has given us a ministry of traveling around and visiting missionaries around the world and more so in this country and ministering in very, very different places. We've done that for these 3 weeks fellowshipping with you. Then we leave on next Sunday afternoon and head back home and start a week of ministry in North Carolina. And is this being recorded? Oh, I better not say that then. It's one of the greatest delights to come to Fairhaven. Not that we're not delighted with the other churches, but you understand. And we appreciate that opportunity. So we have been talking about Romans 5, 6, and 7. And we've come this morning to chapter 7. And we want to just again remind ourselves that in chapter 5, the much more was the gift of grace that is given to every believer. We look at the first few chapters of the book of Romans and we realize that those are devoted to people who do not know Jesus Christ. And as we look at them, we realize that Paul begins in Romans chapter 7 to say that the heathen, that is, people who do not know perhaps what we know, but the heathen is the word that it best describes it in the first chapter. Those who have rejected God, they need Christ and they're lost. And then he talks about the hypocrites. We all have that disease, but some more than others. And so he talks about him and says those people need the Lord. Then he talks about the Hebrew, that is the Jews. And the Jews, in spite of all they had, they knew, they still need the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he ends in chapter 4 by saying that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so all of humanity needs to believe in Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 5, he opens by saying that we who believe in Jesus Christ are justified by faith. So we know that from chapter 5 on through the end of the book, it is addressed to those who know Christ and who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so chapter 5 tells us that even though we have been justified, as glorious as that is, we have much more than that. There are three aspects of salvation. I'm sure you know it. I'll just reveal it with you. We speak of salvation as being that which is past, that which is present, and that which is future. And that which is past is the work of God on the cross through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that forgives us all of our trespasses, as Cindy was reminding us. That transaction of a moment takes us out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of the dominion of Satan into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the past. It is a once-for-all transaction. But then we talked about in chapter 5 that there is the salvation of the present. We are saved by His life in chapter 10 and verse 5. And that means that Jesus Christ comes to take up His residence in us. And we don't have the strength, the capacity, the ability to live as He wants us to live. And so He comes to indwell us. He will never leave us nor... Good. Never leave us nor forsake us. And so He is always with us. And that is the means by which We can live as he lived, to love as he loved, and the resources that are given us for our life as Christians on earth is found in Jesus Christ. Past, from the penalty of sin. Present, from the power of sin in our life. And then there is a salvation that's future. One day, maybe today, the Lord Jesus Christ will come through the clouds and he will gather out of the world all who believe, and those who reject Christ and say no, they will remain behind and we shall be forever with the Lord. The promise in the scripture that to be absent from the body, one by one, day by day, we are present with the Lord. But one day, he that shall come will come. And he will gather all believers, and that is a future salvation. Our bodies will be redeemed. We will be like his own glorious body. And we will leave behind the proclivities of sin, the tendency for transgression, the temptation to sin will be left behind, and we will be like him. What? And we shall see him as he is. Today? You want to go today? Good. That's not my decision. That's his. And so that blessing is ours. And so we are in Romans chapter 7. We talked about the much more. We talked about four important words last week. What we know, the truths of the Word of God are the basis upon which we can grow in victory over sin. If you don't know, how can you get victory? And the second word is reckoning. Reckoning, something to be true. Count true. And he says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And then yielding our members, the members of our body, the capacities of our mind, our emotions, our will, to surrender to him our possessions, our finances, our job, our home, our house, all of these things, we need to yield them. And then the fourth word is to obey. And so we come this morning to look at Romans chapter 7. And I want you to turn back for a connection to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we have an interesting picture. And that picture is going to be the basis of our study this morning. We are interested in verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to read 10, 11, and 12. He, that is God, Jehovah, found him, that is Israel, in a desert land. And in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, bearing them up on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there is no strange God with him. You say, I don't see the connection. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and the last verse of Isaiah chapter 40. That's number 31. You know it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and our key verse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You'll have to pay attention to get the connection, won't you? Let's pray. Father, what a glorious truth you have laid before us. We thank you for taking things out of your creation and applying them to our lives. We thank you for the eagle. What an amazing bird. How glorious is his capacities and abilities. How manifest are your care, is your care for us in that mother eagle for her little ones. May we learn the lesson you have for us. And we thank you that you have promised to help us and guide our thoughts so that we will leave with some truth lodged in our mind that answers the questions we have. We thank you that there are truths that will stir our emotions this morning. So we offer you our emotions to be stirred. We thank you that your word will command us. And therefore you need our obedience, our wills, and we surrender them to you this morning. Thank you for meeting with us, for blessing your word to our hearts and blessing us as we hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ornithologists are very interested to know, well, what's an ornithologist? I didn't know either till my uncle, who is an ornithologist, told me that it's a bird watcher. And they've done amazing things, and what they've done is climb up these trees over into those rocks, and what they've done is put a camera on the nest of eagles, and they record the whole thing. And they watch as the mother eagle and the father eagle builds this nest with strong sticks and then smaller ones and then maybe some grass and leaves and maybe even plucking out some of their own feathers and putting it in there as a very warm nest. And the mother lays the eggs on that nest. She keeps them warm for a period of time and there is birth. There is life. And out of that egg, the big end, just in case you were wondering. Out of the big end of the egg, the little eaglet is able, with a tooth connected to her beak, that open that up and comes out, and the glorious liberty of this little eaglet is the beginning of life. It's like getting saved. And it's amazing how thrilling it is to see that little life come out of that egg. And then maybe two or three more. And the mother begins to feed them. And the mother begins, and those shorn eaglets without any feathers and no capacity and no ability and wondering where they are and what they're doing here. The mother is there protecting, caring for them. And she brings food. She protects it against enemies. And there, way up in the tree or far up into the mountain and rocks, the mother eagle and the father eagle provide for this little group of eaglets. And the feathers begin to grow. And the eaglet grows and gets bigger. And the eaglet then enjoys that nest. How warm. Man, this is a great place. I'm fed. I'm taken care of. I don't have any worries. I think I'll stay here of my life, like children in their parents' home. And they say, let's stay here forever. And no, says the mother and the father, it's not that way. And so the mother pushes the eaglet over to the edge and she says, no, that's not what I was. She looks down over the edge and it's maybe 1,000 feet down to where she's going to fall. And so she crawls back to the middle and mother pushes him out again. This one and then that one over to the edge and they look, oh no, that can't be. And they say, yes, mama says, that's where you're going. What's the rule? What's the law that causes such fear? It's the law of gravity. Aren't you glad for the law of gravity? Can you imagine if the law of gravity didn't exist? These buildings would be floating around and we would be floating around. But the law of gravity is a law which God made. And the bird looks over and says, oh no, the law of gravity means I'll be dashed on those rocks and it'll be the end. And so we're told by God that what she has to do is to take away some of the feathers in the nest. Take away some of the grasses, and it becomes very uncomfortable, very much like parents should do to their children. Get out! But the law of gravity says, I will fall over the nest and I will crash on the rocks. It'll be the end. And there is fear. And the mother pushes them out a little more and pushes them out a little more. And then the day comes when the mother actually pushes one of them out. And the little baby is flying like this. But mother, the Bible says, goes down under where she's falling, picks her up and puts her on her wings and dumps her back into the nest. Wow. She flutters over it. She makes it uncomfortable to stay in the nest. And the baby bird falls over. And she's screaming and whoa, can you imagine the noise? But the mother bird is there, comes down underneath, picks that bird up and dumps it back in the nest. Whew. Can you imagine Thanksgiving? But the next day the same thing happens again. And finally the bird realizes that there is another law. Not only the law of gravity, but there is the law of wind, the law of air. And as her muscles, the little baby bird's muscles get longer and the feathers get bigger and the mother dumps them in and out so many times, imagine finally the majestic movement of that bird going about with almost no effort, defying the law of gravity. With the law of air and the law of wind. Has that happened to you? You see, one is a conqueror. The other is imprisoned. As a little bird, she is imprisoned in that nest. And fear keeps her from just jumping out and flying away. But there is another law. I call it the law of wind. I don't know what the law is called in science. But I call it the law of wind because the word wind and the word spirit is the same in the Bible. You know, in John, the wind blows where it will. So is everyone that's born of the... Why do you say spirit? It's the same Greek word as wind. Born of the wind. And what we are learning this morning is that in Romans chapter 7, there are 6 different areas in which we can find this lesson. And I suggest to you that the deepest concept that we're trying to get at is this bird must accept by faith that the law of wind is greater than the law of gravity. And we like that bird. We have been born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. And Romans chapter 7 says, we are slaves of sin. We are to the law of sin. We were born that way. But then we trusted Christ as our Savior. And we were born again. Like the bird coming out of that egg. Into liberty. But such fear. And such gravity. And that mother bird, like the Lord, because that's the picture, the eagle is like the Lord who carried Israel. And what did he do? He dumped them in the wilderness. And then he would come by and catch them, give them another opportunity. Then he would face another problem. They didn't have water. They didn't have food. They didn't have guidance. I will take care of you. And so he did. You see, the person who is in dungeoned in the prison of sin is a person. He has life. The conqueror has life as well. Do you see what it says at the end of chapter 7? In the end of chapter 7, it says to us, verse 23, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The law of sin captivates me. When we are born to this world, we're born sinners. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to twist the scripture. I did that when I was young. I would go into the kitchen and say, Mom, can I have a few cookies? She says, sure. And I walked out with eight. She looked at me and she said, how come you have so many cookies? I said, the Bible says that a few is eight. You don't know your Bible, I can tell. Because it says regarding the flood that wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. And I thought, this is a great way to get eight cookies instead of two. Just say I would like a few. It's hard raising parents. It's much more difficult than raising children. And so as we see this, we realize that the Scripture has given to us a reminder here in this book that we are slaves and we are captives to sin. So how do we move from being a captive to a conqueror? How do we move? Chapter 6 says, you must know and understand and learn the truths of the Scripture as we learned this morning in the Lord's Supper. What a beautiful time reminding us of the reasons for our joy in the Lord. We must know those. And then we reckon those things to be true. And thirdly, we yield. And fourthly, we obey. And we move from being a captive of the law of sin to the captive of the law of Christ, a conqueror, just like that bird, and every bird moves from a captive of the law of gravity to a captive and a conqueror of that law, supported, directed, enjoyable, of that amazing law of the air and of the wind. That's what the Lord wants in our lives. He's glad. He's delighted that we have been born into His family. We are alive, just like captives are alive. But He wants us to be more than conquerors in every circumstance of life. And that's what He's saying. So we look this morning and we realize that fear must be given over to faith. If we could say for that bird, that eaglet, that finally, after being dumped out of the nest so many times and caught, faith then takes over. I suppose we could say that birds have faith. But for us, it is in not the wind, but the Spirit of God. Why is it that the word Spirit, in reference to the Spirit of God, is only used one time in the first seven chapters of Romans, where it says that the Spirit, that it's given to us. And then we open chapter 8, and 15 times it talks about the Spirit. It is a translation from dependence on the law of gravity, the law of sin, the law of judgment, the law of penalty, and all of those things into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a leap for us. In the same way that it is for the bird. And as those wings get bigger, and as the feathers become more powerful, and as the muscles grow, that bird comes back to the nest and says, it's not a problem. And I can extend those wings. But what do they need? I suppose we all have taken out a BB gun and saw a bird flying across in our backyard. Pow! Oh, my. And that bird drops to the ground dead. You didn't take away the law of gravity. You didn't take away the law of the wind. You've taken away life. And so as we think of this, we realize that in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6, and again in Romans chapter 7, he is talking about believers who through the first four chapters have trusted Christ as their Savior, and having been born again, they are now possessors of the life of God, as we shared last week. You have both everlasting life and eternal life. What are these six things that he's talking about? We'll go very fast because we don't have much time. The first four verses tell us about a message from marriage. Well, I didn't plan to get into this, but when I go through a portion of Scripture, I take the difficult passage as well. But this Scripture teaches us that God chooses to end marriage by death. And he tells a story here of a couple who got married. I'm expanding it a little bit. And the husband did not treat her properly, did not treat her well. That was the law, says Paul. And then because it was so difficult, he wanted to get out of this marriage and she wanted to find someone else. And so God intervenes, as we understand it from other portions of the scripture, and the old husband died. The law of sin died. And it set her free. It set her free to be married to him who? To Christ. What an amazing transaction. How freeing. And again, it reminds us theologically and biblically and morally and socially that God chooses to end a marriage relationship by death. The Lord himself says, and let not man put asunder. Put asunder. Maybe it is thunder. But it reminds us that God has his way of doing it. And so as we look at that picture that he draws, he said, we must go dead to the old law of sin and be alive unto Christ. It's like the bird finally realizing that getting out of the nest is not a problem. And the 1,000 feet down to the cavern floor is not a problem at all. And you see the beautiful support for that bird of the wind, even in the midst of storm, high winds and low winds, the bird learns how to maneuver in all of those circumstances and realize that that faith placed in the law that God has given to us, it's called the law of God. It's called the law of love. It's called the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my relationship to him and all that he gives me, as we'll find out when we get done this afternoon. Secondly, not only do we have a message from marriage, we have as well lessons from the law. And it's instructive for us that God does not take away the law of gravity for that bird. The law of gravity continues. How do we know it's true for us even when we believe the gospel? When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, many people say, well, why didn't God get rid of the devil? Why didn't God, when I trusted Christ as Savior, not have a problem with the world? Why didn't the moment I trust Jesus Christ know that the flesh is gone? Because the same lesson is taught to us by that bird. That when he gets strong, God doesn't take away the law of gravity. It's still there. And you and I have the law of sin, the sin nature, the old man. It says in chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man, sin, that is the nature, that is the root, sin came into the world and death, all three deaths, physical death, spiritual death, the second death, and death passed upon all men, all have created and have done acts of sin. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, you say, whoa, that is amazing. I just listened to this television preacher, and if you believe in Jesus Christ, you won't have any problems anymore. May I let you know that that is not true? In fact, you'll have more problems. Because it's impossible to live the Christian life without Christ. Even if we acknowledge him, it is throwing myself on all that Jesus Christ is, so that the provisions and resources of life are mine and they are found in Christ. That's why you have that list in the back of your Bible that I challenge you to do. So that you would know that those are your blessings. Those are your resources for life. It's part of the law of love and the law of Christ and the law of God. And so we exchange a law of gravity for the law of wind. We exchange them. And it is a principle in Romans chapter 8. It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Say it again. The law of the Spirit in Christ. It's amazing. That is so profound. I wish we were going to be able to do that in another study. And so he says to us, he said, the law of gravity is not taken away. The temptation from the world, the flesh, and the devil is not removed. But the law of love, the law of God, the law of the Spirit is given to us. And as we extend our wings of faith and gently let them go up and down, it allows us to move. And the law of gravity doesn't influence us. And we are, rather than be captives in the nest, captives of the law of sin, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It's a message about marriage. It's a lesson from the law. And there is in verses 13 through 17, we have the counsel of conscience. It's a tug of war, you know, at camp. We used to get these big ropes that held the ships in place. And we would line them up and put a flag in the middle, you know, and a bunch of people over here and a bunch of people over there. And there's that tug of war, the flag going back and forth, and here comes Big Jim. Big Jim, come to our side. And so Big Jim at 300 pounds, you know, gets a hold of the end of the net, you know, the end of the rope, and he pulls and we win. It's as though the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he does a whole lot more. But, you know, it's a silly illustration, but he lays a hold of the rope on the side in which we are. And he lets it go. And that flag flies that way. The Lord Jesus Christ. The law of sin and death. And we on our own effort, because the conscience says, I want to do. You know, conscience is a difficult thing. Conscience is a problem because we want to bargain with God. How many of you did that this week? No, you don't have to read it. I'll do it for all of you. Lord, I read my Bible longer this today. I prayed longer. I gave more. How come I'm in these problems and difficulties? You know, we have that bargain with God. And that's part of our conscience. And God said, you didn't read long enough today. Well, maybe I had other things. God doesn't say you have to read the Bible 15 minutes. He doesn't say you have to pray for 20 minutes. He doesn't say you have to share. But those are things that take place when the law of love and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it becomes a joy. The fear that I once had of falling out of the nest and dashing myself against the rocks. Instead of that, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me apart from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, Christ being sent by the Father in a human body, He died for me. He was buried. He rose again. And I am in Christ and Christ is in me. What did you say? I said, Christ is in me. Is He in you? I didn't hear you. Okay. Christ is in me. And so all the resources of Christ are in me. All the capacities, all the abilities of Christ are in me. It is knowing those things. It is reckoning them to be true. It is yielding my members to them. And it is obeying. And so the counsel of my conscience tells me that that's wrong. And the tug of war is won because I have Christ. And then fourthly, there is the failure of the flesh. Did you notice how many times the word I is found in chapter 6? Once. How many times in chapter 7? A.P. Gibbs calls it capitalizing on capitalize. And you have so many times, I. We say, I try this, I try that, I try to do this, but I find I can't do it. And he says there is this failure of the flesh. I can't do what I want to do. And he says to us in this amazing description with capital I's, I, and me occasionally, and it tells us that I don't have the capacity, I don't have the power, I don't have the necessary ingredients to get victory over sin. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And he says to us, Oh, wretched man that I am. Maybe you could say that if you've been through that this week or the last few weeks or years. And so he says to us, in regard to this, he said, I am drawn by fear. I am challenged by my accountability. I want to be accepted by God, but I can't do anything to do it, to accomplish it. And so the key verse is found there. To perform what I want to do, I can't do it. It's a sad picture, isn't it? It's a sad picture from marriage. It's a sad picture from the law. It's a sad picture from the conscience. It's a sad picture from the flesh. And so chapter verses 21 through the end, I have called it conflict in the courtroom. There's always conflict in the courtroom. But there's the judge. And over on this side is the lawyer and his client. And over on this side is the lawyer and his client. And the conflict in the courtroom. I delight in the law of God in my mind. But, I find the law of sin is also in me. Isn't it instructive that he says, I understand the law of God with my mind. That's true of us. We know what is right. We know that's what we're supposed to do. We know how we're supposed to behave and how we're to live and how we're to do these things. Our mind, the law of God is in our mind. But the law of sin is in our being. And it creates the conflict in the courtroom. Because here's the law of sin and the world, the flesh and the devil, the three attorneys for them. They are beating me and challenging me and tempting me, drawing me away. And over here is the law of God and their attorneys, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that conflict in the courtroom ends by saying to us, I delight in the law of God. I hope you do. I hope you delight to do the will of God. Because if you do, you're like the bird that has exchanged the fear of leaving the nest to the flight. Almost without any. How many of us wanted to do that? You know, just get up there, total quietness, and just wave a wing here and there and rise above the law of gravity. We all as children wanted to do that. And so there is conflict in the courtroom, and your mind and your heart, your emotions, your will is the stage on which this conflict takes place. And so the chapter ends by this amazing cry. Oh, wretched man. Doesn't say, oh, guilty man, because I'm not guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation. I've been justified. It doesn't say to us, oh, condemned man, I'm not condemned. I stand righteous, declared by God in Christ. I'm not condemned. It doesn't say to me, oh, judged man, just waiting for the sentence. It doesn't say, oh, Lord man. I trusted Christ. When I believed the gospel, I was justified and regenerated and reconciled and propitiated. Sorry about that. I know that's a lot of stuff to say. I keep forgetting. But there it is. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. And we can identify with that because there's the conflict. I want to do good, but I don't. I don't want to do evil, but I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. What's the next word? What is it? You should be so thankful for those three letters. Who? He doesn't say what. Do you see the difference if he had said, oh, wretched man that I am, what will deliver me from this body of death? What? Keeping the law, that won't work. He says, who? That is glorious. Oh, wretched man that I am, who? Is there a person in all the universe? Is there someone who could give me victory? So that I am not a convict, that I'm not imprisoned. I am more than conquerors through a person, through him, through Christ. He answers the question, who? And that is so significant, because it's not in what you do, it's not what you don't do, it's not keeping the law of sin. It is found in a person, and that person is Christ. It's so simplified by saying, all that in Christ is mine. And so he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Do you thank God for Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is the resource, is the treasure house. He's the reservoir of all that I need to live as God lived. In him is found all the wisdom of treasure of wisdom and knowledge. He has made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The meekness and gentleness of Christ, his joy, his peace, his love. It's all mine because I have Christ. And that word, who, is just so thrilling. Three little letters. But what a difference than saying, what is going to deliver me? Praying more often? Reading the Bible more often? Giving more generously? Is that what's going to deliver me from the body of this death? No, it is Christ. And what I did as submitting to the law of sin as a captive sets me free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And by faith, I jump out of the nest. I don't care how far down it is. I mean, like our hymn about the water. It doesn't make any difference how deep it is if you can walk on the water. But it's faith in what God says. Come, says God, says the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter. Come! And there are so many times we are invited to come. And God has given to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given us everything that's in it. Father had three sons. And he left in his will that the old family Bible would belong to one. And that the land would belong to another. And the finances would belong to another. And the oldest was to take his choice. The second would take the second choice. And the third would take the third choice. None of them wanted the Bible. And so they took, the oldest took the land, said that's the best investment. The second one took the money. And the third was left with the Bible. The young boy went out discouraged, disappointed, that all he had was the family Bible, which his father read to him day after day. He put it in an old chest and put it in the attic. And there it sat for years. And eventually, after many years, the house was going to be sold and gone. He went up into the attic to get his things out of the attic, opened the trunk, and there was the family Bible. And he thought, well, you know, I really didn't get much. He began flipping through the pages. And he found that between every page, there was a savings bond that had been waiting to be redeemed. And those savings bonds had increased in value time after time after time. And he opened the Bible again and another one, page after page, were these extremely valuable savings bonds that belonged to him. Right there, all the time, as much as he would need, and all he thought he had was a Bible. Have you got your Bible? Or your iPad or whatever it is. In that book are the list of resources that are mine in Christ. And as chapter 6 says, you must know them. You must reckon them to be true. You must yield yourself to them. And in obedience, a loving obedience, you surrender what you are and what you have to God. It moves you from being a captive to a conqueror. And it is by the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift. When was the last time you thanked God for the gift of the Holy Spirit? What a gift. We go to a Bible study, and this lady, she's in her 90s. Almost every time she prays, she thanks the Lord for the Holy Spirit. It lifts my heart. I'm grateful for the Word. Oh, what a wonderful book. I'm grateful for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious person He is. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit who comes and lives in me because He is the Spirit. And that word Spirit is the word wind. We get our word pneuma from it. Pneumatology, a study of the Spirit. Pneumatic tires, that's tires with air in it. Pneumatic hammers, that's the Greek word. And it is translated wind and it's translated Spirit. The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound thereof. Don't know whether it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so the eaglet, so terrified by falling 1,000 feet to the valley floor, learns to jump off. Isn't it beautiful? You see the birds, you wonder how they do it. That's because there's the law of the Spirit, the law of the wind, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made it possible for me to live according to the righteousness of the law. And that makes me a conqueror rather than a captive. It sets me free by my faith to live in the power of the Holy Spirit rather than my conscience and the law and all the problems that I have trying to please God in my flesh. It's a call for all of us. I don't know whether God has spoken to you about this over the course of these three studies. Maybe there's some who are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. It's a great opportunity to trust Christ. Because not only will you have salvation, but you'll have past salvation and present salvation and future salvation. You'll have all the resources necessary to live as God intended for you to live. If you need to make that decision, it means that you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You acknowledge your sin. You confess that you have violated His character, His nature, and His law, and that you want Him to take up His residence in your life, to make you alive, but to also help you live in that life. Others of you have been struggling. You've got difficulties in your life, in your business, in your home, in your family. And you say, boy, is this for me? And I'm telling you, it's for you. It's not just for the preacher. I'm still learning about these things. I'm still growing in my understanding. Yes, I told you I would let you know what my list looks like. This is what my list looks like. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. And it was an attempt to help believers know that they can live in victory. That those resources are yours. Not because you pray for them. Not because you earned them. Not because you bought them. Not because of anything. But they were a gift when God gave you Christ. And there are some of you who are struggling in these areas. And you're in that nest. You're afraid of jumping out. Well, the Spirit, the wind was there for the eaglet. And the Spirit is there. It is a step of faith, absolutely. But it is a choice to accept the resources day by day, moment by moment, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave you when He gave Himself to you. If you have Christ, or since you have Christ, you have all those things in Christ. And I've done some of the homework for you. But do it yourself. Make your list of those blessings and then write thanks behind it instead of, I'm praying for these. It's been a delight for Jenny and I to be with you, have these times of fellowship in the Word of God. We just really enjoy that opportunity. And we would like you to pray for us. If you want to pray for this book, it's now available in 5 different languages. And we don't get much of anything. We don't get anything from the Spanish or the Indian. It's not a means of our support. It is, we've priced it as low as we can. But if you would like to pray that this will find its in the hearts and lives off the coffee table and into somebody's heart, that would be a huge blessing for us. We continue in our ministry to visit missionaries around the world. If you want to pray for us, I can give you a schedule so that your prayers aren't specific. So I'm just going to say the Lord bless you, but you know I shouldn't say that. Because the Lord has blessed you. The Lord is with you. And all the other things that we ask the Lord for, He has already gave them to us in His Son. Live as victors, more than conquerors. Find by faith an exit out of being a convict to the law of sin and death. Let's pray. Father, we have opened our hearts and opened our minds with the truth of your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and for what he wrote to us and to the Romans, and that it's been preserved for us. Our Holy Spirit, the things of Christ, and shows them to us. And so we again realize that you have opened our hearts as a surgeon would, and you have found fear. You have found unbelief in our lives. You have found dependence upon ourselves, on our own ego. You have found I so many times. We want, as the surgeon does, according to our faith, he will encourage us and strengthen that which remains, that we might live as the Lord Jesus Christ lived, and love as he loved, and of course, serve as he served. We thank you for the resources for life that have been given to us in Christ. We pray that as we grow in our understanding, many others will be affected by the way we live. Thank you for blessing us so richly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.